Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh my God. Happy fucking happy hour.
Holy shit, Rob Reiner's here for the shit show of the Trump administration. Hello, my friend Rob
Hello,
Reiner.
Stephanie Miller. Do I have to curse because I'm on the happy hour?
You don't have to.
I might. It could happen.
You're way too fucking classy. I'll take up the slack.
Thank you, bitch.
You don't.
See, I slid it in right there.
We already made news. Make sure you send that clip out. Me too. What's next? Okay. Listen, Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner just called you a bitch on TV.
It's fantastic.
On TV. It's on the TV.
Let me imitate a Trumper.
Whatever, Meathead.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you guys. That's the funniest thing I've ever said. Remember? Because he played Meathead.
Yeah. You're the third one today to Meathead me. I'm a libtard. That's the other one that gets
Isn't that great?
Them. Libtard.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah. My daughter is always saying, Dad, you know, when you tweet, you know, do you ever look at the notifications and what the people say? I said, you know, I don't really bother with it. I mean, I know they're going to say something horrible. And then you look it up. And, of course, you know, you son of a bitch, you libtard, meathead. But it goes on and on. And then you look and there's, you know, how many followers? Two.
At least no one tweets you and says they hope you get cunt cancer.
Really? Have they said that to you?
Yes.
How many cunt cancers have you?
A lot.
Really?
A lot, Rob.
And it didn't take, see? So they're wasting a tweet. Wasting a tweet.
No, my cunt is fantastic. Rob Reiner.
Yes, ma'am.
As you know, we need to check our news alerts to make sure.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm going to stroke out. Stop it. This shit show is, I mean, we've never experienced anything like this, have we? Like, no. We literally are seeing if he resigned today, because April Ryan, God bless her, national treasure, she's like, yeah, has he thought about resigning?
I know. You know, it's so crazy that you have to step back for a second. I'm just watching, you know, I watch, you know, we flip around between MSNBC and CNN, and sometimes we throw in Fox News to see how the other half lives. And somebody said, well, you know, I mean, the president, you know, he's always lying. And so, you know, he lies constantly about big things and little things. And you go, wait a minute. I mean, we just accept that, which is true. But this is the president of the United States. And you step back for a second. Has anybody ever said about a president, well, you know, he lies all the time and he's always lying about big things? Who just casually says that about a president?
Well, I mean, we're going to get into all this, but you were mentioning my dad, who's on the Goldwater Miller sign. You did the great movie LBJ. Like, Rob, this is so far from fucking normal.
No.
And we were saying it's almost like the Republicans, like Nicole Wallace, Steve Schmidt, that are almost more eloquent and impassioned because, like, we are losing an entire fucking party.
Yeah. Well,
treason and complicity and just really.
Well, we may be losing more than a party. I mean, yes, he's already decimated the Republican Party.
Right.
And the principled Republicans, like, you know, you say Steve Schmidt and Nicole Wallace and Max Boot and David Frum and so on, and William Crystal, these people are desperately trying to hold on to a decent Republican Party. But this goes way beyond that. I mean, we're seeing democracy fray at the edges. Yeah. And we hope and we believe that the institutions will hold. But right now, we don't know. This guy's trying to blow up everything. If he destroys the Justice Department, whatever, we're hanging by a thread. Democracy is only as good as people accepting certain norms, and the norms are out the window.
Right. Well, listen, with the fucking news cycles, we're like, he hasn't fired Mueller yet.
Yeah.
Or bombed Syria yet, as we sit here. But, I mean, what about fucking threatening Russia on Twitter? Like, here they come. Here come the missiles. Nice and new and smart, Russia. Like, you're like, what?
Yeah,
what?
And this is a guy who said, you know, I don't like to tell people, not like Obama, you know, who telegraphs where you're going to bomb and what you're going to do. The reason he didn't telegraph is because he had no idea. There was a question that was asked, what would you do about whatever, whatever North Korea or Syria or Iran, what would you do about it? He doesn't have the answer. So
he doesn't know fucking anything about anything.
He doesn't know anything. So
we'll see what happens.
So the way he responds is, I don't like to telegraph. That's the way he gets around.
Here's his Syria policy, his trade policy, and his legal strategy all in one.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, and believe me, we'll see what happens.
Believe me, that I can tell you.
Believe me, we'll see what happens, and it'll happen very quickly.
Nobody could pitch this fucking movie.
No, I know.
You'd go, oh, no.
No,
that's
no.
What?
No, you can't go to a studio and say, okay, here's the idea. There was a reality star guy with this weird hairdo, and he lies all the time, and he grabs women's pussies, and he does that, and somehow he becomes the president of the United States. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of it. It's not even a good satire. It's like bad comedy.
Yeah. But installed by a hostile foreign government. You've not only... here's the thing. It's like every time you get out of politics, they drag you the fuck back in, Rob Reiner. Look, I'm trying to be an Oscar-winning director. And then, like, you have to. You have to do Investigate Russia.
Yeah, they pull me back in.
Because you fucking have to. Because this is for anyone that cares about our country. You've never tweeted before.
No, you know,
Michelle, your wife was like,
my wife told me, we have a massive train wreck heading our way in Donald Trump. We got to stop this. So she had the idea we could get as many people tweeting against him. But, it doesn't help. None of it helps. I mean, it hopefully keeps the base energized so that when we get into the midterms, we're ready to go, and that blue wave becomes what we hope it will
now,
be.
Now, I rarely play a movie drop that is not yours, but the Poltergeist, What Is Happening, is our daily, right?
What's happening?
Right? Because this...
Yes.
Okay. Let's hope that he was not legitimately elected, and we've been talking about that.
Yeah.
You know... It's like the signs at the March for Our Lives that we did. The, 18th century laws, 21st century guns. Lawrence Tribe and others saying, well, there's no mechanism in our Constitution. I'm like, well, shouldn't there fucking be? Because they couldn't have envisioned the internet and Cambridge Analytica and Russia. And like, the Founding Fathers had no way envisioning a foreign power installing our president.
Well, but the Founding Fathers did have the idea that they had just defeated a king. They didn't want the president to become a king, so they wanted to make sure that the states had well-regulated militias,
right.
The people's right to bear arms, not the individual person's right to own an assault weapon or an atom bomb. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, where do you go? Even Scalia said there are limits to the Second Amendment. So
if he wasn't dead, they'd fucking kill him for that.
No, but you know what's interesting? I thought about this. You know, the kids now out there against guns, which is, to me, it's great. It's great. I mean, but it reminds me of when I was of draft age during the Vietnam War. I was worried about my life. So we got out there and marched because we didn't want to be sent to a war that we didn't agree with, that was immoral, illegal. These kids are worried about their lives.
Yeah.
And that's why they're energized. They don't want to get killed in the classroom. So I believe when we get to 2018, it's going to be the women and the Me Too movement and March for Our Lives, the kids. It's women and children, which they usually say when the ship is going down, they say, women and children first. But it's going to be women and children first to save the ship of state. Yeah. I believe it.
Well, listen, and you know how I'm going to help, Rob. We're going to edit together
how
you calling
help?
Me a bitch and saying pussy, and then we're just going to send out a press release, and I'm going to sue you for sexual harassment.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to use the money to fund progressive media. Listen, I know you would want it that way.
I would. I would. Anything that could help you. You want me to call you some other names?
Yes, yes. We've got nothing but time.
But I like
We've
you.
Got nothing but time and editing tools.
I like you. I wouldn't call you bad names.
Rob, I don't. I mean, what? I know it's hard to predict any fucking thing in this. Where is this going? He's openly talking about firing Mueller. We have a whole party that is complicit, in my opinion, and treasonous and saying, oh, no, there's no reason for that. He's not going to fire him.
But look what's
can you
happened.
Predict anything Donald Trump's not going to do?
No, but look what's happening. You've got record numbers of Republicans in powerful positions that are choosing not to run. Today we had Paul Ryan deciding.
Latest rat off the Trump tannic.
You know, and I, like I said, you know, rats leaving the sinking ship, but in this case, it's only the rats are staying on the ship. The people who have, you know, who want to get, they just want to get away from it.
They're the delusional rats. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, those other rats. But the thing is, you know, Nixon, it took a long time, you know, for Watergate to penetrate it to the Republicans. And it almost was 2 years. And it wasn't until Nixon dipped below 30% in the polls that the Republicans said, you know, wait a minute.
My dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, Barry
came
Goldwater.
Came to him and said, got to go.
Right. And so right now, he's still in the 30s, up to the 40. And I think that as more and more comes out and the handwriting is on the wall, you might see some Republicans. It's not going to be out of principle. It's going to be out of self-preservation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they see a massacre already coming in November. Yeah. And I think the more and more evidence we get, I mean, he can say it as much as he wants. No collusion, believe me.
No,
collusion
is right out there.
I'm like, what? No,
it's right there.
We see it in...
No, it's right in our faces. It's right in our faces. There's collusion all over the place. I mean, it's the Trump Tower meeting in June of 2016. But the other one, it was just... And you just kind of casually mentioned, well, what are they doing? They're going after the pussy tape. That's becoming the thing again. And all of a sudden, why are they doing it? Well, maybe there was a payoff. Maybe there's bribes. Maybe there's all kinds of things that they're looking at, but people forget. Right after the pussy tape came the emails on John Podesta.
Yeah.
And where did those emails come from?
Yeah.
WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And who? How did WikiLeaks get those emails? Through Guccifer 2.0. That's the Russians.
Yeah.
And how has it all of a sudden come out right on the heels of the pussy tape? It has to be coordinated. It's coordinated through the campaign. So the campaign has to be working with Guccifer 2.0, WikiLeaks,
well,
and that's
the whole
Russians.
Thing, Rob.
That's right there in front of
you've
us.
You've tweeted before, like, it's not fucking connect the dots. The dot is one huge blob already.
Yeah,
I mean, Michael Cohen was working out of the offices of the lawyers for Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
She was the finance chair for the RNC. Like, you know, it is all fucking connected.
Yeah, no. Cambridge Analytica, you know, came out yesterday with Zuckerberg, you know, in front of the Senate committee. And, you know, we all know that Facebook... all the data was stolen. It was used by Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge Analytica was the digital campaign. It was the digital component of the Trump campaign, the Alamo Project, which was run by Jared Kushner. Well, how did they figure out how to steal all that Facebook, data? Well, they worked with a company called Palantir, Palantir. And who owned Palantir? Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel is a board member of Facebook, and Cambridge Analytica was helped develop by a Russian guy from St. Petersburg. So it's all, like I said,
I read your tweet on the air today. It's like he says it there. It comes out here.
Okay.
Rob Reiner's tweeting.
All right.
But I mean, this whole thing is, you just wonder how much longer this fucking shit show can last. Because I've said this from day one, he's going to start a war when Mueller gets close. And now we have the Cohen raid, and we have whatever the fuck he's doing in Syria, and the missiles are coming. I mean, and you have people like Madeleine Albright. I mean, you have so many people saying, oh, my God, this is fascism. Oh, my God. Like, how long will it take to even undo the damage that has already been done?
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
And the only question is, they always talk about the adults in the room. The only question is now, the only adult really left is Mattis.
Right.
I mean, and so... Can Mattis put the brakes on some kind of... I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, Syria, you know, Assad used chemical weapons, and it was supplied by the Russians, and so on and so on. So let's try to bomb their chemical plants. Let's do that. That's a proportional response, as they say. But to get involved in a real war, and you've got not only Syria and Assad, you've got the Russians, you've got the Iranians, and our allies, the Kurds, are in there helping us with ISIS. So you have to think that through.
Fucking occurred to Donald Trump today that Putin's on Assad's side. You can see that tweet. He's like, nobody knew.
Nobody knew,
yeah. He's so complicated, and apparently he's on the side of the animal Assad. It's like, right, we all fucking knew that, you moron. Yeah. Oh, and apparently there's going to be new missiles as opposed to the ones we normally get at Out of the Closet or Goodwill.
Yeah, and smart.
What the fuck?
And they're smart.
Yes.
They're smart.
Exactly like him. They're They're like smart missiles.
Well, they're like smart missiles, and these missiles have the best words.
I have the best words.
Rob Reiner, do you have the same fantasy I do that there will be you ordered the code red moment? Do you think with Bob Mueller?
You're goddamn right I did.
That's what we keep telling him every day. You are so much smarter than Bob Mueller. Go, you go, 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 go. Talk, you could outdo him. Tell him you
did. You ordered the code red.
Yeah.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're damn right I did.
Good job.
See, that's what we need. We need Caffey, and I think Mueller is Caffey. He's gonna nail this guy to the wall. The guy has been. It's a crime family.
Yeah.
Basically, and they've been committing crimes and frauds and for years, and they got away with it in New York. They're not going to get away with it, in the United States of America, and taking our country down. It's not going to happen.
Do you? Think
and he's going to get. They're going to have the whole boatload against this
thank
guy.
You. And do you? Think in all Rob Reiner movies like I do. I mean, for those of you unacquainted, I'm not going to do the usual goddamn James Lipton interview. Just Google things he didn't direct, and it's hardly anything. But do you not just think of the Code Red, but do you think, like, after all this thing, like, people will not listen to people that talk about sand anymore? Do you know what I mean? Like, anyone that steps to the microphone?
They want leadership.
You know
they're so thirsty for it. They'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
Right?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, the mm-hmm. point is, mm-hmm. They've been drinking the sand for quite a while now. There's a whole group of people that, it doesn't matter what, you know, he said it, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, I won't lose any voters. And those people, for some reason, whatever reason, they're staying with him. They don't even know that the tax cut that he passed, that's hurting them.
Yeah.
The trade wars that he's talking about, the tariffs that he's talking about, are going to hurt those people that voted for him.
Yeah,
it's I've said it, there's an ignorance there, and unfortunately they're going to get hurt more than those libtards that they were.
Did you ever
think yell at.
We would have occasion to yell liar from Princess Bride every day at our televisions? Did you ever think
that? Oh, you mean
do I owe you any money for any of these?
You're talking about Carol Kane?
Yes, liar. Liar. Right. From, okay.
He can't find it.
And
he's
also,
looking for it.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
And also, nothing he says means anything that he thinks it means.
Inconceivable.
It is all inconceivable.
It is inconceivable.
What?
The whole thing is inconceivable.
You're like psychic.
Yeah.
Inconceivable!
No more rhymes now. I mean it. Anybody want a peanut? Oh, that's on tonight. Andre the Giant.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Last night, I think it was. A documentary about Andre the Giant. Wow. I'm in there, so you can check it out.
Fantastic. Hold that thought. Let's freshen up our drinks for a second, shall we? Speaking of freshening, Travis, what has the freshest new look in the world?
Your house, because you've got select blinds.
Thank you. In the downstairs bathroom, which we run to during happy hour quite a bit. Am I right?
Yes, and we need to turn those blinds so people can't see us in here because we get a little wild.
There's some stuff going on. Happy
pants
hour,
are optional.
Right. Exactly. When you have pants optional happy hours, you need select blinds.
Yes.
I'm telling you, listen, the best ideas are simple. Best blinds at the best price ever. You can get blinds, shades, or shutters for the best price. I have the same blinds upstairs that cost me roughly $1 zillion. I will admit I was drunk when I got them.
But
I didn't know, but also, I didn't know about selectblinds.com. Even drunk, that's how easy it is.
Well,
they walk you through how to choose, measure, even install. Well, yeah, right. Sean is my designated blinder.
And guess what? I've never installed blinds in my life.
Right?
But it was easy.
Easy to install. Blinds, shades, shutters, products you've seen in all your favorite home improvement shows. They take all the guesswork out of it. Just saying. Select Blinds has the most online reviews and five-star ratings on the planet. That's about 1 million satisfied customers. What are you doing without Select Blinds? To get the best deals on blinds, shades, and shutters, shop today. SelectBlinds.com. Remember, mention our show, Stephanie Miller. That's it, at checkout. Let SelectBlinds.com freshen your drink today and your house. SelectBlinds.com. Do it now, SelectBlinds.com. Now, back to happy hour. All right, Rob, what the fuck? All right, everyone else has been asking you about Roseanne and the comparisons to All in the Family, of course. I know I've seen you, and I've talked about this too. Like, you know, God bless her for having another hit series. I know you know how hard that is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the show. It's Roseanne, the person that's tweeting all this same bullshit that got us where we are now. That's not fucking funny.
Yeah, well, because people, you know, when they see a character on television, they can't separate that character from the person in real life. In this case, they're almost, you know, one and the same. I mean, I have no problems with, you know, doing a show. You know, we did All the Family. It's a red state, blue state type of show. There's a liberal and a
I come from a divided family. My 95-year-old Republican Trump
and that's,
mom.
And that's fine. And we should have those arguments, and those discussions are great. But the problem is when you take somebody from that show, it becomes ABC has to be very careful because it becomes propaganda. It becomes propaganda when the main character in the show is taking that outside the show and tweeting certain things. So when you have Fox News, you have Sinclair, you have Breitbart, you have InfoWars, and possibly a Roseanne element, that is, you know, this is the first time in American history where a president has state-run television supporting him.
Well, every they say single- Nixon. If Nixon had had Fox News and right-wing radio, he might have...
Yeah, I mean, every
survived.
Every single president has used propaganda to sell a policy, to sell getting us into a war, you know, if they don't think it's, you know, they want to do it, but they're worried about the public buying in. They'll use propaganda, and that's part of how they're selling their policies. But when you have state-run television helping you sell those policies, that's when it gets really tough, and it gets tough for mainstream media to poke through, because now what is mainstream media? Yeah. They're just as much mainstream media as we are.
He's trying to soften the ground, right, for when Mueller's done, to go fake news, fake news, fake news.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, that's why, you're quoted as saying, this is normalizing the president of the United States and ennobling his base. I think it can help him because you have the star of the show essentially, trumpeting all the things Trump stands for. And you say they're going to walk a very fine line. I have a feeling they're going to try to rein Roseanne in outside the show.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to because...
How do you tweet that, thank you, President Trump, for saving all the people, kids from the child sex ring that Hillary started? I mean, what the fuck,
well,
Rob?
But that's that ignorance thing. That's the thing where you say, I can shoot anybody on Fifth Avenue. If you believe that stuff, if you're that dumb to believe that stuff, then those are the people you can go for. And then you add in some racism to the mix and all of that, and you've got it's scary. When you think about, racists in this country, it's original sin, but you think about
slavery,
you think about it as, okay, it's a lunatic fringe, you know, those white supremacists or the KKK or whatever they are. But when you see there's so many of them, that it was always there and it bubbles up to the surface after Obama leaves because they're so pissed off that a black man was the president of the United States. And then you add ignorance to that. That in itself is ignorance. But then you add ignorance about understanding public policy. You've got a mixture that's really tough to beat.
But isn't that, Rob, the fundamental difference between All in the Family? That's what I was sort of offended, and I had nothing to do with All in the Family, but just that... Well, first of all, as you always say, Carol O'Connor made you look like a conservative. You knew Norman Lear.
In real life, Carol was a liberal. He was very liberal.
Right.
But we had arguments. We had real arguments. And you could take Archie's side or you could take Mike's side because the arguments were presented with equal weight. And hopefully my side had a little bit more factual base or intelligence, but a lot of times I was an idiot too. So you had those two arguments, and Norman Lear always said his favorite play was Major Barber's Major Barber by George Bernard Shaw.
Right.
And even though Shaw was a liberal, if you went to that play, you didn't know where he stood, whether he was a conservative or a liberal. So that's what we try to do, is present both sides and let people argue about it. But with Roseanne, I mean, it's skewed. They make fun of
They make the liberals look like lunatics.
Like idiots.
I mean, you've been asked so much about this, but I think that, like, it is hard to underestimate. You talk about, like, Archie, like, it was sort of shining a light on bigotry, where you say there's, with Trumpers, there is a very serious strain of racism that runs through his followers. That's disturbing. I don't think you can ever reach those people. I mean, once again, Hillary was right. Some of them are deplorable.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to find common ground the people that use the N-word.
No,
I just don't.
And you're not going to change their minds. You have to give that one up. I mean, the difference is, Archie Bunker was a fictional character on a television show.
Right.
And we made fun of him.
Right.
And we, you know, and all that. This guy's the president of the United States. He's the president of the United States. And he can't string us. He can't string a sentence together.
I always hear air quotes around that. But sure, he's president. But you talk about, you know, a lot, too, about Carol O'Connor's influence on you and as a role model for directing, all that. But I also love your... I mean, I've known you forever, but just your whole childhood with Carl Reiner being your dad, you said when you, because this reminds me of my childhood, like, I just assume everyone's dad ran for vice president.
Yeah.
You said when you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're a kid, you think your family's like every other. You don't have anything to compare it to. You're just living in that world. I go over to other friends' houses, and they weren't that funny over there.
Yeah.
At my house, there was Caesar Norman Lee or Mel Brooks.
Yeah, and my friend Paul Schindler and Michael Leeds, there wasn't as much laughs.
Right.
They didn't have, you know, none of them were, they were nice and they're funny, but it's not so.
Born in New York, came to Beverly Hills High. That was a whiplash.
Yeah, that was a big one for me. I used to go in, because I was a kid from New York. I was born in the Bronx, lived in New York until we came out here, went to high school, and people would come up to me and say water, say coffee.
Central casting for New York, too.
Say coffee.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah. And then I'd say coffee, and then they'd laugh at me.
But your classmates, Richard Dreyfuss, Rachel Marx's daughter.
Yeah, Melinda. Listen to this senior class drama. Richard Dreyfuss, he was nobody at the time.
Right.
But I mean, Richard Dreyfuss, we had Lee J. Cobb's daughter, Julie Cobb, Groucho Marx's daughter, Melinda Marx, Joey Bishop's son, Larry Bishop, and Carl Reiner's son. Those were the people in my class.
I've read something else. I thought it's so funny to Google you when you've been my friend for so long.
Yeah.
But you talk about you never really felt successful until you were a director. So,
Well, I didn't feel successful until I did. I didn't feel right about until I did Stand By Me, actually, because I did a lot of things and I acted, and
that's your favorite film.
It was a change for me, because it was the first time I did something that really captured my personality. I mean, it was an extension of my sensibility. I'm people know me. There's a melancholy side to me, and then there's humor too.
Yeah.
And I blended those things in that. I mean, before I did Spinal Tap, which, you know, is a satire, and my father used to traffic in satire. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And then, the Sure Thing was a romantic comedy, and my father had done that.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, you know, I'm kind of doing. Then this is the first time I really kind of went into my own world, and now I'm just, now
that
I'm
is
doing
amazing.
A lot of different-
that even, 12 Emmys for your dad is a little intimidating.
That's,
but still,
that's a lot. It's very intimidating.
Yeah, Michelle, I wasn't there for the melancholy. That's your thing. I don't care about that. I just want the funny, Rob.
Yeah, she has to. She puts up with the melancholy all the time.
Yeah, well,
she has to.
You know, whatever. Here's the thing, because I only know the nice, cuddly Rob.
Well,
Stand By Me scene.
I'm an affable bear of a man.
Yes, you are.
I'm an affable bear of a man.
Except that I read in Stand By Me that the kids weren't afraid enough in the train scene, so you screamed at them until they started to cry.
Yeah, they started crying.
Yeah.
Because the train, here's the thing, they were on the trestle, you know, and the train was supposed to, but the train was never on the trestle at the same time they were, because I used a big long lens. It compressed
And I have been with you.
Make it look
yelling.
Like it. And I said, they didn't feel any fear. I said, you see those guys pushing that dolly? Because they do it take after take. I said, if you're not worried that train's going to kill you, those guys are going to kill you. They're so bad. And then they got scared and then they cried. But then they were happy. They ran into my arms. They said, we did it, Rob. We did it. I said, you guys were great.
You're a mean man.
I mean,
I'm gonna wish you into the cornfield.
I know.
Now, so, I know it is interesting because everyone's asked you that question, but I literally, it's every fucking movie: Princess Bride, Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men. So that is interesting that that was the one that resonated most with you was
at
Stand
the
By
to-
Me.
At that yeah. time, yeah. yeah. But now, since then, you know, I've got a film coming out in June. It's called Shock and Awe, and it's about the run-up to the war in Iraq. And it's about these four journalists from Knight Ridder who got it all right. And talk about fighting against, propaganda and trying to get the truth out. And here, you know, you had the mainstream media buying into the narrative that was put forth by the Bush administration, and these guys were fighting like crazy to get it out. So it's kind of, apropos now, with what we see, you know, how difficult it is to get the truth out there.
That's what, it's one of the reasons I love and adore you, even though would rather have sex with your wife. But my point
Because you're a lesbian? Is that why? Because you're a lesbian?
Listen, not just because
my wife would have to be a lesbian if
I
that
know.
Was going to work.
Listen, you got us marriage equality. It seems like you could at least complete the job by finding me someone that would marry me, this hot mess. It seems what's the point of getting marriage equality for your friends?
Well, marriage equality just gives you the right to get married.
All right,
it doesn't give you...
I feel like you could it's a little guaranteed unfinished. Unfinished, Rob.
He's getting married.
My point is.
He's getting married.
Thank you.
Okay, had nothing to do with that.
No, but what do you mean?
What? Okay, you had something to do with the legality. My point is, Michelle, Rob, set me up, man. I need my Michelle Reiner.
I went out and found someone for myself, Steph. You got to do that. Get on Grindr like I did.
I don't leave my basement. I'm here fighting the good fight for Rob Reiner.
You don't have time.
What? Yes. You don't have time. Exactly. Exactly.
You're married
exactly.
to politics.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm married to the world. And you know, famously, you were married to Penny Marshall. Okay, how many times in the 70s did someone say, table ready for Meathead and Laverne? Like, was that?
Well, the good thing is we could get a table. That was the main thing. Yes. We could get a table. Yeah, no, I mean, it was a strange kind of thing, you know? I mean,
was it different times you were more popular? Like, oh, you're with Laverne. Oh, you're with Meathead.
Well,
okay.
It started, I mean, you know, All in the Family was first. Right. And Laverne Shirley didn't come out until, I think it was 75 or something like that.
Right.
So we were already established, you know, a big hit show. And then they came on. And then we went off in 78. And so then they took off from there.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So then it was sort of like, what's the Barbara Streisand, Chris Christopherson movie?
Star is Born?
Yes. Then it was Star is Born. Then you're
how
like,
old are
oh,
you?
There's poor Meathead. He's like a hobo in the alley drinking. And Laverne
I don't think of Chris Christopherson and Barbara Streisand. They're great. I think of Judy Garland and James Mason as A Star is Born, and that was not even the original Star is Born. That's who I think of. I'm James Mason walking into the ocean, killing myself.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Because Laverne is much more popular than Meathead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's you know what, Michelle, let's move on from that era, because that's just sad. You wore a toupee.
Is that sad?
You wore a toupee in All the Family? What the fuck?
No, I didn't. At the beginning, I didn't, because I had hair. And then I started to lose my hair. And so the third year, I had the littlest tiny piece right here.
Yeah.
Because I had hair.
Yeah.
Little. Then the next year, the piece got a little bigger.
Yeah.
Then next year, and then finally, I had to get the whole thing.
What? So what the fuck with Donald Trump's hair? Have you seen the interpretive dances getting on Air Force One and the wind? Like, what?
Yeah,
Twilight, fussy.
He had to take out a home improvement loan just to construct that. I mean, he built a patio on his.
Frank,
I don't know what it is. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, I gotta say one goddamn thing though. That whatever that fucking headpiece is, that has respect for the office, because once he gets on Air Force One with the wind, it goes like, get your shit together. He's the president. Like it somehow puts itself together.
Well, but you've seen some of those memes on him, those GIFs where the hair comes up the back and the thing goes on the side, and the question I have is, how long does it take him to get ready? And wife,
you go, oh, that looks good.
My wife, by the way, who took the picture of Donald Trump on the cover of the book, The Art of the Deal, and she has a lot to answer for.
She's a famous photographer.
Yeah, she's famous. But she tells a story about how she was taking the picture. They were up on some construction site where they're building something, and a wind was kicking up, and he had to go get a certain kind of hairspray that he needed to have. Otherwise,
what kind of hairspray is that, Michelle? That would actually
control that
motherfucker.
Do they make?
I need some more wine to hear about this. Uh huh.
Trump hairspray. Yes, his own hairspray.
Same thing he uses on his dick. Like what makes any of that stiff?
Okay. Oh, look, you made a dick joke.
What? Hey, Rob Reiner. Listen, I'm no Rob Reiner. So, all right, let me just talk a little more about All in the Family, because there's so many comparisons.
You don't want to talk about dicks anymore?
Well, no, I would. Well, we'll go back to Donald Trump in a minute.
Okay.
But you talked about the difference. You were talking about All in the Family. You said Carol O'Connor set the tone of how we were going to work. He was very inclusive. He allowed everyone to participate, say what they wanted. He was thoughtful, intelligent, cared about injustice. Whatever we all felt, whether it was the Vietnam War, race issues, women issues, those issues got into the show, and he was part of creating that freedom.
Yeah, and that was Norman, too. I mean, really was Norman. It's his vision, Norman Lear. Yeah. And he pushed us to go as far as we could go. And Carol was the creative partner, in a way, and set the tone that everybody was allowed to. Very interesting thing. There's a very famous playwright, Herb Gardner. He wrote Thousand Clowns and I'm Not Rappaport. He came to a run-through Wednesday. We shot on Friday, and Wednesday we'd have a run-through. And we'd finish, and then everybody sit around, the actors, the writers, the director, and all the producers, and we'd give each other notes. You know, I'd say, well, maybe I shouldn't have that line. You take that line, and then wait a minute. And we would all just chime in. And in theater, you can't change a guy's line.
Yeah.
Playwright. He's got to keep that, you know, you have to ask him if you want to change the law. He's looked at this. He says, this is creative communism. I've never seen anything like this. And that's what made us good. I mean, we really were a unit, and we all kind of worked together.
Wait, speaking of which, you had a very funny story about you worked on a show that Desi Arnaz produced.
Oh, yeah.
And you improvised. And he came in and screamed at you.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's what happens. So I'm an improvisational actor, and I was raised that way. I was taught that way. And so I come onto the show called The Mothers-in-Law. It was with Eve Arden and...
Welcome to Rydell. That's how
And Kay Ballard. And Kay Ballard.
Yes.
The two of them. And I had a little scene, you know, and I was good. They brought me back for another show. Now it's a run-through on a Wednesday. And I start to improvise. I start improvising. And Desi goes crazy. He says... Wait a minute. Stop it. Fucking, what the fuck are you doing?
You have some explaining to do,
meathead. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? And he says, come outside. And I'm going, oh, my God, what is this? I get outside. He pins me up against the wall. He says, what the fuck are you doing? You don't fuck around. I pay $10,000 a script. I didn't need you fucking around with the script. He says, maybe they do that Pacino on the fucking Dick Van Dyke show, but they don't do that here. And he got so mad at me.
It was Pacino and Scarface.
It was.
Say hello to my
little friend, you fuckhead. I mean, he was going on. So I said, listen, Desi, maybe this is the way I work. I'm sorry. Maybe I should leave. You know, he says, no, amigo. Come on. You could be okay. And so
Gossip columnist said, yeah. Rob Reiner, hippie, psychedelic son of Carl Reiner, got into argument on the set of Mothers-in-Law, and whoops, the bearded boy, bad boy, walked off the set.
It was the psychedelic bearded bad boy, because I played a hippie or whatever, and it was in the 60s.
But you talked about that. Child of the 60s, you said I was in Haight-Ashbury, 1967, Summer of Love.
Yes.
I experimented with all the drugs available at the time.
Is that why you have that peace symbol on now?
Yes.
Is that
it's my hippie shirt. I'm probably wearing this for you and Steven Stills, man.
Is that in honor of that?
For what it's worth.
Yeah. Something happening here. Yeah.
It's not exactly.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
Come on. That was kind of the shit, wasn't it? Steven Stills was playing that in my living room.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You and Lily Solomon, Michelle and I were sitting here. Adam Schiff. And Pelosi walks in. Come on. That was some shit.
Yeah.
That
was Ted Lieu. I think Ted Lieu was
Ted
there.
Ted Lieu was here. Yeah, he was.
So. Yeah, but I was in Haight-Ashbury, 1967, the Summer of Love. Yeah, that was where the whole world was. We thought we were changing the world, and it got buried under a lot of drugs.
But how do you compare that to now? Because we've been saying this with these, you know, what do you call it, Stoneman Douglas kids that I went and marched with in D.C. And I thought, like, as horrible as this is, Rob, I've been saying this lately. I'm like, this is sort of not exciting in a good way, but exciting time to be alive, because I was born in 61, so I missed the 60s.
Right.
But you go, like, holy shit. Like, well, this feels like a time in our history
Well, this is what it was like. I mean, we had, there was the civil rights movement, the great civil, you know, with Martin Luther King and the I Have a Dream movie. And we had the anti-Vietnam movement, which he became part of. And now we have this, the kids from Selma Douglas. And I think that I'm telling you, the kids and the women are energized now. And we do see a movement. And they're going to come out and vote.
Isn't that another weird nexus with us that you made LBJ, which was fantastic, with Woody Harrelson, who beat my dad by, you know, a little bit. Yeah. but you were talking about that even you know, first of all, you thought of LBJ as he's the guy that could send me to my death.
Yeah, I hated
it. You said, and then I had a greater appreciation of what he actually accomplished, how it works. And I think, like, we all have a greater appreciation for that era where people, we didn't have two sets of facts and fake news and whatever. We argued about issues, but nobody called each other a bad American and news.
And people, you know, there were people running the government that knew how government works, that knew the intersection of government and policy and politics and how they all intersected, and they worked at it. Now we don't see that. We just see only partisanship.
My dad had friends on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. He was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. Like, I cannot even imagine. Yeah.
Listen, Goldwater would be considered a moderate liberal Republican, and even maybe a Democrat even.
Yeah. Speaking of pro-gay rights, thank you for gay marriage. No thank you for not getting my future wife, but...
I said it gives you the right to get married. It doesn't guarantee that you'll
get married. Doesn't protect you from being a loser. Okay, because the last time I texted you guys, I was like, oh my God, please fucking tell me Ted Olson isn't taking Donald Trump job. And you're like, no. Because you're right, there are principled conservatives on every side of this. And, you know, you guys were, you know, you had friends, Chad Griffin, who was gay, that had have.
Well, that was the thing.
But that's the whole thing about being a liberal. You fight for people. You're not gay. You fight for people that are not in your position.
The only way you can have civil rights is you have to have all people fighting for that. The only way you can have gay rights, which is a civil right, is to have everybody fighting. It can't be just one sliver of society, because it has to be, the idea is to make good on the American dream and make it all happen. So we used to make the joke that we're gay adjacent, that Michelle and I were gay adjacent. But I mean,
I've tried to turn her, but whatever. Apparently, you are just so compelling.
Oh yeah, right.
Whatever. I don't know what's happening down that area, but it's got to be fantastic. Listen, you what? Okay. Obviously, I met Hillary at your house and you talk about knowing her for 25 years. I mean, it just is hard to envision that she really was the rightful president. You talk about she's incredibly dedicated, passionate, wanting to make things better, wanting to move things forward. I mean, almost everything they've accused her of, Trump has ended up being guilty of.
Well,
right?
I mean, look, she's been in public. She had been in public life for 30 years before that. She had taken a lot of hits over the years, and they have a narrative about who she is. But the fact of the matter is, she has dedicated herself to public service all those years and fighting hard to make a difference and make things work. And then you have a guy who doesn't give a crap about anything except himself. And he goes in there and is able to brand her a certain way. And then, of course, you know, the Russians helped out a big deal. And then,
oh my God, by the way,
Comey put his finger on the scale right at the end there.
Rob Reiner, Oscar winning, I mean, everything. Writer, actor, director. I didn't know you were psychic. You were asked in this interview, do you think there's anything that could blow the election for you, for her? You're like, the only thing I can think of is some Julian Assange thing.
Oh, God.
But there's nothing in those emails. There's nothing there. There's never been anything there. But it doesn't matter. The other day, did you see what they did? She's got a health problem. Look, the pillows. Who knows what they're going to come up with?
Yeah, but you know something? I didn't think of...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I really didn't think that the Julian Assange and the hacked emails were going to do her in.
Well, it wasn't just that.
No, it wasn't just that. Yeah. What I didn't understand, and what none of us understood, is the Russian bots and trolls and the ability to data mine certain voters and target those voters with disinformation and misinformation campaigns.
Rob, I don't think we know the whole of it yet. Hacking into 21 voter registration systems in 21 states.
Yeah,
I don't think
we understood the power of these active measures campaigns that that the Russians have been doing for years, but now on steroids because of the internet. And so that I didn't quite understand, but that was definitely playing a part.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's also, and I was saying, I know there's no mechanism in our Constitution. Michelle and I were texting after the last, like, what the fuck? No, this can't be. What? I mean, it's, I just feel like we've never been here, and we're not sure how the fuck we're going to get out.
Yeah,
I
we don't know how this is going to end, but I'm just praying that, and I don't do praying that much. I'm not, I'm not a religious guy, but I'm hoping, let's say, that our institutions will hold, and that the rule of law will hold, and that the right thing will get done.
I read that somewhere, that your dad, Carl Reiner, became more of an atheist as the Holocaust went on.
Yeah, well,
and you said you were raised Jewish, but not like
Well, I was as a cultural Jew, yes, but not as a religious Jew, no.
I mean, can you imagine my dad, Rob, an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg, watching Donald Trump call Nazis in Charlottesville very fine people?
Yeah, there's good people on both sides, yeah. That, to me, is like, that's the core of anti-Semitism and racism. When he says, you know, I got my African-American over here, and those kinds of things, it's just not a dog whistle anymore. And, you know, Nixon had the Southern strategy and all that. This is a dog bullhorn, you know?
Yeah.
He's just putting that stuff out there, and it's
And you
it's
were
fun.
Saying it was dormant for a while.
Yeah,
you
know, it was dormant.
He's
given voice to all of it. It's all the worst things about... Listen... We're going to have to come to grips with the original sin of this country, which is slavery. First of all, we take the land away from you know, the Native Americans, but also slavery. We have to come to grips with that. And in a weird way, it feels, and I've said this before, that we're fighting, it seems like the last big battle of the Civil War.
Rob, here's the other thing I just think it brings up about the cult of celebrity and people going, oh, well, Trump, now we got to get Oprah. We got to get, I mean, and you've been through it to some extent. People have asked you to run for office forever, but there's a difference. You've been deeply involved in policy and activism and politics. And where do you think?
Listen,
I held
a government job.
Yeah.
I held a government job for 7 years in California. I was the head of the Children and Families Commission. First five, and you know, I was overseeing at the time was a program that distributed $700 million a year.
Did you get the cigarette decks for
young children, you know, and children, you know, 0 to 5. So I have some experience, and I understand how government works and how policy and politics, you know, intersect. But it's not just about being a celebrity. You know, listen, they're going to look at me and they say, hey, what the hell? What do you have? You have no right to say anything.
But how does Arnold Schwarzenegger get to be governor and every liberal celebrity needs to shut the fuck up? How does that happen?
Yeah.
How does Ronald Reagan get to be president?
Yeah, yeah.
But Meatloaf, what do you think about Iraq? Ted Nugent, like, what?
Yeah.
How do we change that?
Yeah,
nexus?
Shut up and sing, shut up and dribble, all of that Laura Ingraham crap. I mean, it's crap. Everybody has a right to say what they say. But not everybody has a right to be elected. You can say what you want to say, but if you're going to push an agenda or you're going to push a particular issue forward, you better know what you're talking about. You better be able to answer the second, third, fourth, and fifth tier questions. Donald Trump couldn't even answer the first question. He can't even answer the first question.
He knows nothing about anything. But so, all right, so wait a minute. But so when, first of all, I understand you only poured 40%, you polled 40% in your own family?
Yes.
In terms of running?
Yes.
So was that Rasmussen, or was that
Well, no, I mean, it might have been Rasmussen.
No.
There's the five of us, you know, Michelle, me, and our three kids.
Fantastic
and
kids who
have met. And I pulled 40%, and I figured I can't pull my own family, I'm not going to do it.
But you know,
plus, you can get a lot done, you know, with not being an elected official. I mean, we did pass that cigarette tax, and we did help young child
to fund a childhood education.
We you know, we overturned Prop 8 and we led the way to marriage equality in America. Yeah. So you can get things done, and we stopped a city from being built in the Santa Monica Mountains. We've done a lot of things, and we have some things that we're planning now. I just don't think I should talk about it because it's not ready yet. But
you got the ixnay from Michelle,
did get the ixnay, but when we are ready to pull the trigger on, I'll let you know. And everybody.
You talked about the Me Too movement. You said Harvey Weinstein. You're like, he's one schmuck.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great people in Hollywood who don't do that. And you're saying it also, it's happening in every.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about the double standard about, like, why don't liberals shut the fuck up? Celebrities, what do they know? And then on their side, they literally will put forward whoever, Ted Nugent.
Yeah. Well, how about this guy that just got kicked out of Congress? I mean, it's in politics, it's in business, it's in show business, it's in, you know, everywhere you're going to see that kind of, you know, that kind of behavior. And I think it's all good. I mean, I think the conversation is good. We haven't figured out as a society how we're going to deal with, you know, sexual harassment. We're getting there because at least the conversation is out there. Just like we don't know how to deal with, you know, electronics and the internet and texting and you know, Twitter and all that stuff.
Did you see Orrin Hatch? Orrin Hatch, like, now, my God. Mark Zuckerberg, what's the difference with Twitter?
Yeah. Or how do you make money?
How do you make money
if it's free?
I don't get it.
He said, well, we have advertising.
What the fuck?
But here's the thing. The people who do know about the ins and outs of, you know, the finite ins and outs of technology, they don't even know what the potential of these things are.
Yeah.
And so it's that thing where, you know, you look at Albert Einstein, you know, and he figured out a way to split the atom because he thought it would create a lot of energy, which it does. And then it could lead to, you know, there's good use there's bad use. And the bad use is the atom bomb. So we have good use and bad use. And I think that the people, there's a lot of Albert Einsteins running around creating things that have no idea what the ultimate usage of those things can be.
But Rob, so the whole like celebrity element, and you know, as you know, Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City is running for governor in New York. I mean, you obviously, they talked about you running against Schwarzenegger. Now, I would argue that you had way better movie catchphrases than he did. Although that's pretty much all he ran on. But I mean, honestly, right? No offense to him, he was an awful governor. He took a surplus, and now like Jerry Brown, of course, has turned it. We are the fifth largest economy in the world. He has turned. We have an enormous surplus now from a deficit.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do the. You know, it's funny because a guy like that, you know, you say he didn't do the heavy lifting. You know, a guy who was a big, you know.
Yeah. Right. He didn't really.
I mean, we had deficits, and instead of.
Remember, I'm going to terminate the deficit. Gray Davis, I'm going to terminate you.
Well, instead of raising taxes, which is what Brown did ultimately, he went back to the tax level that was during the Reagan and Pete Wilson years. He just basically borrowed. He floated bonds to cover the debt, and that's not the way to do it.
I'm just saying, I hope you will rethink it, because you know what?
I'm too old now.
In the absence of true leadership, people will listen to anyone who steps to the microphone. You know what I'm saying?
They'll drink the sand.
Yeah, don't let people vote for sand.
They want
from
leadership. They're so thirsty for it. They'll That's crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
Yeah, Michelle, come on. Let's get to the goddamn program here. Let's talk about our mutual love, Michelle Singer.
Yes.
Now Michelle Reiner, who was a photographer. You were dating. You were directing When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
Resulted in you deciding to change the end of the movie?
Right.
How did
And initially the movie ended with the two of them not getting together. Because I had been single for 10 years and I couldn't figure out
how. Can you do a new movie where she leaves you for a lesbian? No?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Not. All right, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob Reiner. What were you saying?
You're really making moves on her.
She's fucking hot. She's smart. She's funny.
Yeah.
She keeps saying, what are you looking for? I'm like, you! You, a gay you.
A gay you.
Yes.
Well, there are gay hers.
Well,
there
let's
are gay.
Get on the stick.
There are,
let's
there
get
are,
on the stick, but not the stick. All right, tell the story of the, okay.
Get
when
on
Harry
the fake
Sally,
stick.
And you were like, oh, Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm going to date Michelle Pfeiffer. Remember?
Well, that's what I thought. I had had lunch with her, you know, like 6 months before. And I saw her cover of Premier Magazine. She was on the cover of Premier Magazine. And my friend, this Barry Sonnenfeld, who was the DP, he's now a director.
Sure.
But he says, I said, you know, maybe I should give her a call because I heard she was getting divorced.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said, maybe I give her a call. He says, no, you're not going to call her. Because I'm like grasping at straws. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Like,
he says, no, you know, you're not going to call her. I have a friend in New York. Her name is Michelle Singer. You're going to marry her.
Well,
I said, well, what do you mean? Who is this person? He said, oh, she's really nice. I said, does she smoke? He said, yes. I said, I don't want to meet her.
None. Don't
want to meet her because Penny had smoked, you know, she smoked the entire state of North Carolina every day of her life. It was, see, that's a state that grew a lot of tobacco.
I
tobacco.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Yeah. Yes, I get it. Yeah, my relatives are from North Carolina. Rob,
they are?
So, yes. But then Michelle was just like, what? Smoke?
Yeah,
no, I don't.
She said, no, fuck him.
No, I don't.
Fuck him
what?
Because I don't want to meet him. He's like this. So
fuck
we
that
didn't,
judgmental
we didn't
asshole.
Meet. We didn't meet. We didn't meet. And then we were about three quarters of the way through shooting the movie. And it was up the Upper West Side in front of a brownstone. I look across the street and I see Barry Sonnenfeld's girlfriend at the time, is now his wife, Susan, and she's with
and Michelle Singer.
This woman. And I said, Barry, who's that woman there?
Who's
she
that
says, that's Michelle Singer. I said, really?
Really?
That's Michelle. Really? What do you do? She said, well, she's coming to have lunch. I said, well, maybe I'll join you for lunch. And now the thing is, she was very beautiful. She is beautiful.
She's still beautiful.
But she wore this sweater that looked like a bee. You know, it was like the stripes,
really?
Like a yellow, a orange. She looked like, you know, the bee sketch they used to do on SNL.
Right, in SNL.
Yeah,
she looked like John Belushi. Sure.
John Belushi, like a bee. But I'm not allergic to bees.
No.
So I said, okay. And I went to lunch. Let's and now we're sitting there at lunch, Upper West Side, a place called Doc's. And Nora Ephron was there.
Sure.
And Carrie Fisher and Bruno Kirby, Billy. And I'm sitting
Billy
there.
Billy Crystal.
Ladies
and gentlemen who are not accustomed to name dropping from Hollywood motherfuckers. Yes,
but he's
go ahead,
like
Rob Reiner.
He's one of my best
I'm sorry,
friends.
I know no, he no, is, no, Rob Billy, Reiner. I know.
Billy Crystal.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm sitting next to Bruno, and there's Michelle and Nora Ephron are talking about, they're eating this vichyssoise, and Michelle says, I can make better vichyssoise than this. And I'm thinking, what a bitch. What a bitch.
Wow, but I would have been like that.
But I like her. But nice. I can't believe I'm attracted to her.
Yeah, yeah.
So we walked back to the set, and I kind of talked to her a little bit. And then after, I said, Barry, you know, maybe, you know, find out if it's okay to call. So
yeah, and it was okay?
Yeah, it was okay.
You know, it's weird. I have the same story, Rob. I was like, when I first saw Michelle, I was like, wow, she is hot, smart, funny. Who's that? Rob Reiner's wife. I'm like, fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck
maybe
him.
Maybe I'll move in.
He doesn't eat pussy like I do. I'm gonna get her.
Yeah,
that's what
true.
I said, Rob. It hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah,
but the night is young. What?
Good luck.
No, Stephanie. No.
Why? What? Because I work in my basement. If Rob Reiner's Rob Reiner, whatever, Michelle. Jesus, you shallow motherfucker. Listen, Rob.
Yes, ma'am.
You've often said if you win the Nobel Prize, they will write "Meathead wins the Nobel Prize."
Right.
I think. You will win the Nobel Prize because you're my hero. Did I ever tell you you're my hero? You're everything I wish I could be.
And meaning
fucking Michelle Reiner.
And if I divorce Michelle, I'd be more of your hero, right?
No, she won't go for me. Suddenly she'll just be like, oh, now you're with, what the fuck, who's that now? Jesus Christ. Right? Who are you looking at next? Never mind. Listen, Rob Reiner.
Yes,
what's
ma'am.
What's going to happen in this fucking... Okay, let's just check our news alerts.
Yeah, maybe he resigned.
Nah, fuck, no, he didn't resign.
What did
resign.
He say? What does it
no,
say?
No, he didn't resign. Okay, what's going to happen next with this whole Mueller World War III thing? Well, what's happening, Rob?
Well,
help us.
It's gonna take a little while, and I think that he's going to go down fighting.
Is he going to fire Mueller?
He's going to try. I think he will try.
He's going to fire Rosenstein. He's going to fire Sessions.
It's not so easy to do because there's only a few ways that you can get rid of Mueller. One is to get Rosenstein to fire Mueller, or another is to fire Sessions and get another attorney general in there to fire Mueller. And I don't think those people are going to do so. Then there's a third way, which is you could rescind the rule in the Justice Department that sets up the special counsel rule, and you could get that out of there and then directly fire him. But that's going to take a lot of legal wrangling. So I don't know that it's going to be so easy.
Our friend Malcolm Nance says it's too late. This has already gone too far.
Yeah, I don't.
There's already too much evidence.
Our
allies already have too much intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not going to stop if he fires him.
No. I think he's done, but he's going to go down fighting. He's going to go down fighting like crazy because all he knows is to fight. Everybody, he feels like he's always under siege from everybody. He's always, you know, if you look at, you know, his brother, I mean, I don't want to get into psychoanalyzing people. Yeah. His brother had an alcohol problem. His father treated his brother horrible. And he looked at that and said...
And now he's given all of us an alcohol problem in America.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's like depression is either anger turned inward or turned outward. Inward was his brother Fred, and he's turning it outward, and he's taking it out on everybody. So he's going to fight like crazy to get to not have this happen. But he's going to go down. He's going to go down.
Thank you for that moment of clarity and hope, Rob Reiner? And also, can we take a moment to say, fuck you, Donald Trump, fuck you, fuck you. Can you hear this? Fuck you and what you've done to our country. Rob, you know how it is when you have a crush on people and you're just...
You mean like my wife?
I can't. No, I pretend that I'm just using Michelle to get to you. Because you are my hero. Did I ever have to tell you? You're my hero. Thank you.
You and Marty Short do the best Katharine Hepburns.
All right. Because you are my knight in shining armor. And thank you for marriage equality. Thank you for, even though you're a crazy, successful, Emmy, whatever, goddamn Oscar winning, everything, that you still stay engaged in this fight with us. Well, and you don't have to. You don't have to give a shit. You know,
but you know something? I don't believe that anybody does anything altruistically. I don't believe that. I believe you do things because you like to do it and you want to do it. And so when I do something, it's not because, well, I could sit back and do it. I actually like the fight. And, you know, I'm lucky because Michelle is like me in that way.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, even more tenacious than I am, you know, and she gets me going.
Oh, no, she's been at our resistance dinner parties going, one conversation. We're having one conversation. I've never seen anyone make Nancy Pelosi cower except for Michelle Renner. Oh, she's like, okay, got it. Yeah, I give the gavel to Michelle Renner.
Well, you know why she says one conversation? It's because it's not like she wants to control the thing. It's because she doesn't want to miss anything.
That's right.
You know, there's at your dinners, there are a lot of smart people around the table. And if they break off into little things, she's always feeling like she's missing something.
Yeah, I just miss what Maxine Waters said to Malcolm Nance, and that's going to haunt me for the rest of my day.
What did she say? Did you ever find out?
Yes, I know. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh.
Anyway, Rob, no, but thank you, because that's the way you and I feel. We're nerds, and we're sort of like, how can you not be political in this? Literally, our democracy is hanging in the balance.
It really is.
I mean,
it really is.
We're not being
hysterical. This is not, overly, being, exaggeration, whatever. It really is. I mean, 241 years, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen an attack on the media, which is the Fourth Estate is a pillar of democracy. The Justice Department, the FBI, the intelligence community. We've never seen anything like this. And the question is, will these things? And we don't have any checks and balances.
Yeah.
It used to have where you had the Congress would be a check. They're not. They're not. So let's see.
They're complicit.
They are at this point. But hopefully at a certain point, our 241-year history will be more important than, an election cycle.
Rob, would you like to yell what you yell at the TV before we leave today? Would you like to yell?
What do I yell at the TV?
What does she yell at the TV, Michelle?
What do I
yell?
Anything
like, fuck Trump, like, fuck you.
Do you do Trump impressions to Trump? I do yell, the man is an idiot. I yell that a lot. I yell, the man is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Look,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. When the Secretary of State...
says you're a fucking
calls you a fucking moron. That's it.
That's a correction. That's the first news correction we've had in 2018. Literally on TV, an anchor was like, Rex was not called the president a moron. He called him a fucking moron.
Yeah. And that's actually true.
Yeah.
You know, whoever was there said that was the truth.
Yeah.
And so what has then ever happened?
Yeah.
I mean, what...
Alan Zweibel, sexy liberal New York, was like, he's an Emmy-winning writer as
well. I love Alan.
And he just yells at the TV, fuck, 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 fuck. Why doesn't the Chiron just say, fuck?
Yeah. And the thing that Michelle always points out is, he says, you grab him by the pussy. You can grab him by the pussy. Or he says, shithole countries. And a lot of times on TV, they blank it out because they don't want to say it. And we're saying... but they should say it because this is what the president is saying.
Right.
He is saying those things.
This is why, speaking of Republicans, I want to marry Anna Navarro, because she makes Wolf Blitzer stroke out almost every other day. She's like, she's Republicans. She's like, he says, grab him by the pussy. And the woman's like, my children are watching. Oh, really? Donald Trump can say pussy, but I cannot say pussy. Is that how it is? I can't say grab him by the pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God. I'm stroking out.
No, but it's true. It's true. You can say what he says.
Yeah.
He said shithole countries.
It's the first president we've had to tell our kids, don't watch this. Don't be this.
Yeah.
Don't watch this.
Yeah. I mean, if you took a list of the things, you know, from, you know, attacking McCain, attacking the Gold Star family, shithole. I mean, you put it, you think, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
What human being does this?
Don't, as a 70s TV star, don't you feel like this is Fonzie jumping the shark, but like we're way past that now?
Oh,
like,
no, okay, no. He's
is not fucking funny anymore.
No. He jumped the shark a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, he just keeps junking. It's, you know, it's like, don't normalize him. Don't, you know, it's like, how do you deal with this?
Yeah.
You see people like Nicole Wallace, who I have tremendous respect for.
Yeah.
And she is like, you know, her head is going to explode. Every time you watch it, you're, you know, people who are principled people, their heads start exploding with Steve Schmidt. I mean, you can't get over this. What is this?
Yeah. Rob Reiner, if you'd like to end with a primal scream and a plug for your next movie, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shock and Awe. Shock and Awe. It's coming out in June.
Oh, my God. The good old days. The Bush administration. Remember, everybody? Remember how fantastic that was?
Yeah, right.
Remember when we had a really smart, eloquent president that didn't get us into unnecessary wars? Yeah.
Well, I mean, his policy.
So it's a warm, fuzzy, like Stand By Me. It's a warm, fuzzy, nostalgic movie.
Yeah, right. Right. Listen, Bush, you know, was horrible with Iraq. There's nothing. Trump so far, hopefully, doesn't do anything as bad as that. But he was a genius compared to, in terms of his, you know, ability to speak English.
All right, pop up. Fuck Trump. Okay, fuck Trump.
Okay.
Rob.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, fuck. God damn it. Rob fucking Reiner, everybody. Holy shit.
Yes.
Rob Reiner.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I'll have what he's having.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Rob Reiner did our first free happy hour. Yeah. Right there. Right there. His mother will have what we're having. Rob Reiner. Thank you, baby.